Hello and welcome to Cinema Theology. I am one of your co-hosts, Hadid Cortez, and I am joined by...
Josias Flores. We're so glad that you could join us here at the crossroads of movies and theology.
Yes, and today we're talking about a different kind of movie than we've done before, and I think it's a very timely one. So, Josias, what are we doing today?
Listen, Dido, today is probably the hardest podcast we've had to record yet on this movie, with this movie and with this topic. We have decided to view the movie Just Mercy, a 2020 film starring Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx. And this movie, by the way, is free on basically all streaming platforms. Maybe there may be one or two that it's not free on, but so for the month of June at least. So go check it out if you haven't watched it yet. It's free for you to watch. Part of the reason why we decided to do this movie is for that, just to increase the conversation around these topics. But this movie, Just Mercy, follows the story of a man called Walter McMillan, also known as Johnny D, who in 1987 he was wrongfully put in prison and on death row for the murder of a white teenager in Alabama. And so the main character played by Michael B. Jordan, his name is Brian Stevenson in real life, and he plays a lawyer that came from Harvard, from the North, comes down, sets up something called the Equal Justice Initiative to fight for inmates on death row that have been wrongfully accused or didn't have good legal representation. He takes on Johnny D's case, and despite a lot of pushback from the community, he eventually succeeds in bringing justice and setting Johnny D free from his wrongful conviction. I think that pretty much sums up the movie. It's very moving. I have watched it twice, and I have teared up multiple times in multiple parts of the movie. Both times that I watched it. Dila, what was your experience with this movie?
So, same as you, this movie made me cry. I only saw it once, but it is very moving, as you said, very, very powerful, and in a sense, it's almost infuriating considering the state that we find ourselves in this nation. If you're listening to this in the future, we are recording this in the wake of the protests because of the murder of George Floyd, who was unjustly and murdered by a police officer. He was murdered in Minnesota. So, as I said, this is a very timely topic we're dealing with here. And as I was watching this film, I was thinking back to how I would have seen this movie if I had seen it, not knowing this current situation here in the United States. And just to shed a little bit of light on that, I am not from the U.S. I am from Mexico. I grew up in Mexico. And I remember when we used to live there, we would watch movies like this one, talking about racism and oppression. And I specifically, one scene in this movie reminded me, the scene where Brian Stevenson is pulled over by the cops, and he is a gun is pointed at him, and he is searched for basically nothing. And I remember if I had seen that maybe 7 years ago, I would have thought that would have been an exaggeration. That would have been a contrivance made by the filmmakers to kind of get their point across. And that's how I saw movies like Lee Daniels' The Butler or The Help back when I saw them, 7, 8 years ago. But since then, moving into the States, I have come to realize that that is not contrivance. That's not an exaggeration of what is actually going on right now, especially in 2020, when we have seen and we have heard of multiple people killed unjustly, perhaps because of racism. So it was just very, very powerful and very, it really makes you angry, not only at the situation in the movie, but in the situations that are going on in the world today. What did you think of it?
So first, I just want to say that we come to this movie with, an attitude of wanting to listen, a respectful attitude, trying to understand better our place in all of this. Mm-hmm. I think Dido and I both have that kind of mentality, how exactly are we supposed to react in the face of incredible injustice? I also grew up in a different country, at least lived 9 years in Venezuela, came to this country And when what I was taught and what I was presented with is this idea that, you know, this country obviously had a very racist history, but most of that had died down with the civil rights movement. And we were in a different stage now. And so I would watch movies about racism, movies and shows like Roots, North and South, 12 Years a Slave, The Amistad, Amazing Grace, and all these movies that portrayed racism and got a visceral reaction, but at the same time were placed, you know, a number of years ago, a different generation ago. And so I always thought that, you know, I'm glad we're not living in those times anymore. So watching this movie, Just Mercy, and thinking about the fact that these events that were depicted and portrayed in this movie were happening around the time that I was born, not that long ago. And then at the end of the movie, seeing that, you know, the sheriff that wrongfully really set up Johnny D, or Walter McMillan to be put on death row just to save his own reputation. This man, you know, kept his job all the way till 2019, where he retired, just kind of like struck a chord to realize and to help an awakening that has been happening in my life throughout these events, to realize that there is an underlying system that is still unjustly keeping a people group down, it seems like. And so, you know, I watching The 13th, the documentary on Netflix, watching mm-hmm. this movie, and then just hearing people's stories and kind of opening up my eyes a little bit more to what's going on. It's hard. It's hard to take in. And honestly, you know, as a Hispanic man in this country, as a Latino man in this country, it's hard to know. Our experience is a little bit different, but it's just a challenge to try to navigate that. And ultimately, my heart just kind of like cries out in anger and frustration, kind of thinking, as some of the biblical writers have written, how long, Lord? You know, how long do we have to put up with this? That's kind of, you know, where I'm at with this. And again, it's a conversation, it's a dialogue, so please feel free to talk about these issues with us. We love to get more insight and learn your perspective as well.
Yeah, so that's just our reactions to it, but now let's go look at it biblically. What are some of the biblical themes that we find in this movie, and what makes us really reflect on our place in Christianity?
Let's start with this, Dido. Tell me about the title of the movie. You were Just Mercy. What do you think that calls to? What? How do you feel about this title? And tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I think the title is a double-edged sword.
Okay.
In the sense that it can be interpreted two ways. One is just mercy in the sense that only mercy. Mm-hmm. But I think what the movie is actually trying to get across is that it's just in the sense of justice. Mm-hmm. That there can be both justice and mercy in the world. And just from the title alone, it really makes me think about the mercy, or better yet, the justice that God presents to us as human beings. Because when humanity sinned at the beginning with Adam and Eve, God was presented with a conundrum. Because Adam and Eve had sinned, he knew that the just thing was to permit them to die, to sentence them to death. As we said, it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. But he loved humanity so much that he wanted to be merciful towards them. So then we see throughout the entire Bible that there is this accusation against God. God is either merciless but just, or he is merciful but unjust. And it just makes me think of how God got around that dilemma, in the sense that he sent his own son, that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and took his burden, our burden, upon him. And he died for our sins so that we could have just mercy. Mm. So that's just a reflection on the title alone. There's a lot of other things that in this movie that made me reflect upon several scriptural passages. But I'm going to hand it over to you now. What is one theme that you found that really made you reflect on scripture?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, obviously, had to do with justice as well. And to me, it was the dimension of sacrifice when it comes to justice and fairness. And that's something that I hadn't thought about too much before, to be completely honest with you. But the reality is we all want justice, but not everyone is ready to sacrifice for it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's easy to sit down, you know, in your home, in your couch, and be upset, be angry about what is happening, about the murder of George Floyd and other senseless murders like Breonna Taylor, like Ahmaud Arbery. It's easy to be enraged at home and want justice. But the reality is, at the end of the day, in order to change things, someone has to give up something of themselves, right? Individuals are going to have to step up and sacrifice, whether that's their time, whether that's their finances, whether that's their voice. A sacrifice needs to be made in order to achieve justice for some or for all. And the reason why I found this powerful is because as I watched this movie and as I thought about that, it reminded me of Philippians chapter 2, Philippians being one of my favorite books in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Here, Paul is talking to, you know, the church in Philippi, and he's encouraging them, and he says this, check this out. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others, right? What I saw in this movie was the juxtaposition of an individual in Bryan Stevenson, who was willing to look for the interest of others, in spite of the fact that he could have had a really good life being a lawyer, with the kind of degree that he had from Harvard, and the juxtaposed with the life of the sheriff, who trying to save his own reputation was willing to frame innocent people, based on racial motives, in order to look good to a community that was looking for answers in the midst of a senseless murder. And so, I think about this. You can't look out for yourself if you want justice and fairness in the world. You can't just go around your business and saying, I just got to do my thing, keep my head down, and not worry about the world, because that perpetuates unjust injustice and evil in the world when people stay silent, right? Martin Luther King Jr., famous quote, at the end, I'm probably going to butcher it, I'm trying to say it off the top of my head, but it's at the end of the day, you're not going to remember, you know, the attacks of your enemy, but what really hurts is the silence of your friends, right? So in order for us to achieve justice, we have to speak up, and Jesus did that. So Philippians 2 keeps on going, and it says, Paul says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, check this out, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So, oh man, because we talk about equality all the time. Right here, Jesus is equal with God, and he gave up his equality in order to come down to bring justice in with us, right? So to me, that's crazy that like you would give up even that level of equality that everyone talks about getting in order to bring justice. Keeps on going. And being found in appearance as a man, he emptied himself. And my study Bible has a note that another way to translate that is he gave up his privileges. And it's just like, man, that like hit me so hard in the midst of, you know, the context of privilege that's happening in our world today. Giving up privilege, giving up equality. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So to me, to see Jesus' example of giving up of himself in order to achieve something better for us who really deserve. We're not like Johnny D, who, you know, did not commit the crime. We've committed the crime. And yet God will come down to our earth, give up of himself, give up his equality, give up his privileges in order to show grace and mercy and bring justice to the world and end evil. To me, that just kind of like, it moved me, man. And so you see, they have the character of Ralph Myers in the movie. This, you know, lifelong repeat offender criminal, right? Who was basically blackmailed into accusing Johnny D of doing this murder. He, like verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That means that we should change our attitudes to line up with Jesus' attitude. Ralph Myers, to his credit, even though he had done a lot of bad things in his life, he changes his attitude and he says, you know what? I cannot falsely accuse a man and send him to the electric chair. And he changes his tune. He changes his attitude, right? Something that we see right here in this verse.
did not regard equality. Bryan Stevenson, you know, by having a degree from Harvard, was in some way a step closer to the kind of privilege that other people in this country, not of, you know, white people, whatever, had. And he did not regard that equality as something to cherish, but gave that up, gave that of himself as well. We have right there, laid aside privileges again. We have that with Brian's assistant, Eva. She, you know, brings him into his house, puts herself and her family in danger in order to forward this cause as well. And then humbling yourself again, Ralph Myers kind of humbles himself and admits that he was wrong. With even with the potential of being put at a higher sentence, you know, having more years in prison, maybe even kill himself for changing his testimony, and he was willing to do that and humble himself enough to do that and admit he was wrong. And so anyway, this verse kind of paralleled to me very much this idea that sacrifice is necessary in order to achieve justice. And I think the movie brings this out.
I love that you bring it out, because we can listen to all these stories of injustice. We can be moved by these films. We can be angry at the news, but what are you actually doing about it? I think that's something that this movie brings out and makes you ponder upon. And I think it's also something that we find in scripture. I'm quoting here from Proverbs 11, verse 10 through 12. It says, "But if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, 'But we knew nothing about this,' does he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done?" So it's basically, and we can see this throughout the entirety of scripture, where God often rebukes those kind of just observing evil and doing nothing about it. And this is something we can say about the nation of Israel and Judah during the time of the prophets, where God says, in Isaiah 1, where he says to them, you know, he hates, bring no more vain offerings, incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbaths and the calling of convocations. I do not endure this iniquity and solemn assembly. But he says later, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And I think we could fill an entire episode with just Bible verses from the prophets saying to the children of Israel, hey, you guys messed up. You guys are not taking care of the oppressed. You see all this injustice happening in your society and you're doing nothing about it. And that's something that God actively speaks out against, at least in the nation of Israel. Even when Jesus came down, he rebukes the Pharisees, such as in Luke 11 or Matthew 26. Saying that they are very, you know, they're very righteous. They seem to be very righteous in regards of keeping the law. But when it comes to treating others, treating the oppressed, the widows, the poor, etc., they are found with fault. They are not treating them right. There's an injustice there. I think both scripture and in line with this movie is in line with scripture in saying that we ought to do something. If we really feel convicted, then we ought to make a change in our lives, but also try to encourage change in our society. And as you said, that takes sacrifice. And I think that's just a powerful statement that this movie gives.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, I'm so glad you brought these verses out. To your point, when Jesus talks about this to the Pharisees, he says, yes, you have done all these things, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. And that strikes me because, you know, we can say we're Christians and we're like, oh, you know, we follow the commandments. We do our thing. We go to church, you know, when we're supposed to, whether you think that's Saturday or Sunday or whatever. Like we tithe. The Pharisees did all those things, but neglected the weightier matters of the law, which was to bring justice and to take care and champion the cause of the oppressed. And for me, that strikes me because I could do all the quote unquote right Christian things, but if I do not actively speak out for those who are oppressed in my community, regardless of what that oppression looks like, then I am missing the whole point of the kind of lifestyle that God is calling me to. And I think a lot of people are okay with saying, well, someone else can take care of that, or Jesus is coming soon, so I'm not going to worry about it, or, you know, just different things, different ways to kind of quiet our minds to not have to sacrifice and stand up for those who are oppressed.
Yeah, so one of the things I really find encouraging during these times when I think about injustice, because one of the depressing things about the situation we're living in is that it's not going to get any better. We've seen humanity struggle with injustice for, you know, millennia, and it, especially in times like these, we kind of realize that we really haven't advanced that much, and we're probably never going to figure this out. We're never going to live in a completely just society. But in scripture, we have the promise of restitution for all these injustices. We have the promise that when Jesus comes back, when God will incur justice for all these crimes that were committed that were never perhaps fully known, that all of our suffering will be made into joy. And I think that's just an encouraging thing thought to have during these times, especially for those of us, or for some of you who may feel oppressed during this time.
Yeah. And hey, I know it can be bleak, and I'm with you, man. I think, you know, we're never going to completely get a just system. We are caught in a cycle of sin and abuse in this world, and selfishness takes over. And anyway, having said all that, though, there's a theme in this movie that stood out to me as well, that I think we need to bring out too, because it's important, and the movie is trying to also bring this out. Now, I kind of caught on to it a little bit more listening to interviews of the actors. So Jamie Foxx with an interview with Michael B. Jordan. I don't remember if it was like CBS This Morning, whatever it was. He talks about the fact that when he went to go and, you know, to death row, and he kind of did some research for this movie and another movie that he was doing, he said that the most dangerous thing to give a death row inmate is hope. And I just thought that was a powerful thing to say. And it makes a lot of sense. When we see his character in the movie, he is rejecting all hope that his case will be tried, that he will get justice. You know, he says, how many people how many people have escaped the death penalty in Alabama? Like none, right? You know, we tried this, we tried that. My previous lawyer supposedly was going to help me and he didn't. So he's like hanging on, clinging to the hopelessness of the situation. Now, And Bryan Stevenson says, hopelessness is the enemy of justice. And so in order for us to achieve justice, we have to hope that justice can be achieved. If we kind of like just say to ourselves, hey, you know what? This is the way things are going to be. There's nothing we can do about it. It will enable people who are continuing to use their selfishness, their wrong paradigms, and the isms, whether that's racism or sexism or classism or whatever ism it is, if we cling to just the fact that, like, hey, there's nothing we could do about it, given to hopelessness, things literally are going to get a lot worse. So we have to, even though we know that in this earth, there's always going to be sin and there's always going to be injustice, we also have to cling into the hope that, first of all, one day this injustice is going to be taken care of. God promises it. Psalm 9:18 says, for example, or rather, 9:18, but the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Like, there is a moment where God, who hears the cries of the afflicted, will step in and say, hey, you know what? Enough of this. So we cannot give in to hopelessness, but also we can't give in to hopelessness because we can do something about it. And for our Christian tradition and our denomination, Adventism, even though the founding fathers of Adventism and mothers had this, you know, idea that Jesus is coming back very, very soon, they did not allow that to stop them from saying, you know what, let's fight against slavery. Let's fight for the cause of families that are being really destroyed by alcoholism. And so they fought for that, and they championed the health movement of their time because they wanted people to live better lives. And so we see that just because we have the hope that ultimately injustice and sin and, you know, all the suffering and the pain is going to be taken away, doesn't mean we can't start acting on the principles of the kingdom of heaven in our world, in our day, in our communities. And so just this theme of hope in the movie, like, you cannot let go of hope. We will fight, even though there's obstacles in the way. We will do something to bring justice to the oppressed. I think that's something that's biblical and something that we need to remember in the midst of all this terrible news and terrible and really depressing circumstances.
I love that you said it because it's very, I think it would be very easy for someone to say, well, you know, this world is never going to be made actually just. We're just going to have to wait for Jesus to come. So it's easy for us to kind of sit back in kind of like in hopelessness and not do anything about it. But that's not what the Bible says. It says, I just want to quote another verse from Isaiah 58, verse 1. It says, shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. So one of the things that Scripture often tells us to do is to speak out against evil whenever we see it. And I just want to talk to something else you said. What should our attitude as Christians, as people who believe in the second coming of Christ, be to those who are downtrodden, to who are oppressed during this time? And I take inspiration from a story in the Bible, a very famous story in John, I think it's John 13, where Jesus resurrects Lazarus. In the story where Jesus comes to Mary and Martha because their brother has died, and even though he knows that within maybe just a few minutes or a few hours they will be rejoicing, he still talks with them. He still cries with them. Jesus is still moved by their suffering, even though he knows that there is a happy ending in store for them. In the same way, us as Christians, when we see these injustices, we see so many people suffering around us, it is our place to comfort and speak and listen and cry with these people as well, just as Jesus did.
And there's a lot of pain. You know, there's a lot of pain in our world right now. And a lot of it right now is coming from, you know, what we've been seeing. And now a lot more stories are coming to light. And it's so important to listen with empathy, you know, to kind of lay aside our own preconceived ideas and notions and just listen to someone. And even if, you know, it feels uncomfortable. Sometimes when you hear people talk, it feels uncomfortable, especially if they're angry, especially if they're in pain. They'll say things that may be hurtful to other people, or that may sound uncomfortable to other people, but we have to just kind of like embrace the discomfort and listen and actually listen, not just wait for them to finish to give our opinion, but just hear their heart out. And I think that's one of the things that we can do. So let's transition now, I think, to what are some things that we can do, right? And I think that's one of them. You need to learn how to listen to people and also explore yourself. Know thyself, the unexamined life is not worth living. Socrates is famous being quoted as famously quoted on saying that. Also, it was in the it was in a temple somewhere in Greece. I don't remember where. But it brings up a good point. And honestly, a lot of times when I look at this movie, one of the reasons why I can't say that I know the human heart completely or at all. But one of the reasons why it seems like the sheriff and this police force and the DA were willing to go along with this lie of framing Johnny D for this murder is because they were afraid of owning up to their own mistakes, right? They were not able to solve this case. And in order to get a feel good, check that box off moment, they were willing to put an innocent man on death row. And so the thing is, though, that like, first of all, when you're afraid to own your mistakes, you end up hurting other people. Number two, I think you have to really examine yourself to know what are some of the stereotypes that I have, the paradigms that I have about the world, about other people, about my reality. Where do they come from? Are they honest? You know, are they based on something other than what the Bible tells me about people, what the Bible tells me about reality? And the reason why it's so important to know that is because in moments of stress and strain, you will fall back on those false stereotypes to the detriment of your community, potentially, like the sheriff. You know, maybe he wasn't condemning black people every day, but the one moment he felt strain, he went there and he used that vulnerability that he knew was present and this flawed mentality in order to advantageously do something for himself. And so by understanding who we are, owning our mistakes, not shifting the blame on other people. This is a very human thing, by the way. Adam and Eve did this. When we shift the blame to other people, we are really blaming God for this person is inherently ontologically flawed. God, you're the one who created this person. So therefore, God, you're at fault here. We have to be aware of all these things that are happening in our lives in order to stop perpetuating systems of injustice. And maybe you feel like, hey, that's not me. You know, I'm not a racist person. I'm not a person that views others as less than or anything like that. But if you're not silent, if you are silent, if you're not actively trying to find ways to advocate for people, then your silence can be just as hurtful. And we've mentioned that, so I'm not going to go there again. Anyway, that's some of the things that I think we can do individually at the personal level in order to fight against injustice. Dido, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
I think you're completely right about that. I would suggest another thing that you can do is perhaps you can't change the world, but you can change some person's world out there. In a sense that you can do in this, it often our character is in the small things that we do. So yes. Do you want to stand up for injustice? Look out for the injustice that's happening right now in your neighborhood. Look out for what's happening in your town and your city. What's happening? Stand up for the oppressed. Call out evil for what it is when you see it, as the Bible says. Right now, we live in a turbulent time, not only because of COVID-19, because of all these protests and stuff like that. That's because people are hurt and nobody's listening to them.
Yeah.
Because as I said before, it's so easy to watch these movies, to listen to these stories, watch the news and feel guilty even, or, you know, feel angry. But what are you actually doing about it?
Yeah. And Bryan Stevenson, by the way, who is the lawyer portrayed in this movie, a real man, obviously, this is a true story. He says there's always something that we can do, right? So in the midst of hopelessness, his response was there's always something that we can do. Even when he was shot down for his appeals process, even when, you know, he was being personally kind of threatened, all these things, his thing was there's always something that we can do. And I will say, I'm probably going to talk about this here a little bit. His nonprofit organization that he started, it's not his anymore. It's a bigger thing now. The Equal Justice Initiative. By the way, you can go to EGI.org and learn more about them. They fight on multiple fronts. Did I say that incorrectly? Thank you for correcting me. EJI, very good. Thank you. EJI.org. He fights for, man, I'm trying to pull it up. My internet's being slow, so I can't read it. But basically, the different fronts are people who are unjustly or underrepresented in death row. So he does a lot of work with death row. He also works for people with racial injustice, and he does some stuff on that. And then he also does some stuff in order to advocate for more mercy in the punishment of the criminal justice system. So he tries to do reform in criminal justice system. He stands up for those who are on death row and maybe were not represented well, or their stories were not heard, and also does work with racism that is still present in our society. Honestly, I'm just inspired by what this man is doing, because he decided to do something. You know, he decided that he was not going to embrace comfort, but gonna go do something. And you can, if you want to do something and to help his cause, you can donate, I think, on his website as well. So feel free to check that out and learn more about what's happening, what he's doing. But outside of this story, I think at the end of the movie, it said that he's helped 140 something people that were on death row either get less of a sentence or just completely exonerated. And it's not just black people, it's black and white. I've seen interviews. There's a 60-minute segment that was done, I think, 2016, about some of the people that were on death row that were released. And, you know, it's a Latino woman, I think, a white male and a black male. And they'll talk about their experiences and how they were unjustly put on, you know, on death row or giving these sentences. So check out what he's doing. That's something you can do if you're feeling like there's something that you can do, and educate yourself a little bit more, and maybe donate if you feel called to do that.
Definitely. And as we said, this is the most recent movie we've done on our podcast, so I'm thinking that many of you who are listening have probably not seen it yet. And just know that we are recommending this movie. You can find it now in the month of June on streaming platforms for free, as well as the movie about Dr. Martin Luther King, which is called Selma as well, which is also a great movie. So maybe you can start there and on the journey to educating yourself, just listening to the stories of some of these people, looking at books, looking at some of these good causes that are out there, not only Bryan Stevenson, but also other causes that you can find out there that help people that are oppressed right now.
I think this is a good ending point. There are other themes that have come out, but honestly, I think this is a moment where we should just kind of encourage other people to have honest conversations and end it here. And like always, we want to hear from you. We want to continue conversations with you. It's part of the reason why we do this podcast. So feel free to reach out to us on our multiple platforms, on the podcasting app that you're listening, whether it's Spotify or Anchor or iTunes podcast. Feel free to write a review or just comment, do something, engage with us, send us an email, cinematheology@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. Dita, where can they find us on Facebook?
Just like that, Cinema Theology. Look it up. There should be a page. We're also on, we recently just made an Instagram page as well. So just look up Cinema Theology on Instagram. And on Twitter, I believe our Twitter handle is?
@CinemaTheo. At Cinema Theo. So it's like Cinema Theology without the logy, at Cinema Theo altogether.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us this time. We will be back next week with something else. So stay tuned and see you later.
See ya.